Welcome to Expedition Self on OM Times Radio with lifelong learner, entrepreneur, and creator of the worlds of Expedition Self, Sam Parado. Sam shares four decades of studying, guiding, and teaching how to go inside so we can build an incredibly powerful, dynamic, and validating relationship with the self. Expedition Self is laced with stellar, unexpected insights about what it means to be human. Listen now and ignite your self-development process with Sam Parado.
Well, hello and welcome. I am Sam Parado, and I'm just going to take a little moment here, like whoosh. You've landed on Expedition Self, and I like to think of this place as a getaway to explore you, to dive into who you are and how you develop a more conscious and intentional relationship with the self. I know I'm taking a little journey here before I tell you anything else. I picture you arriving on a boat to this otherworldly land set with three suns, each a different shade. Tomato red, pinky peach, and orange, and they sit one on top of the other with the largest in the middle. The weather changes are never ending, but in this hour, the cotton-strewn clouds are wafting gently over the disembarking site. So to the right of the dock is a quaint village, like you'd find sitting at the ocean's edge in Capri, small and large boats rocking to and fro in the bay, buildings painted in every color of the rainbow lining the waterfront street, and a sign that says, Talk Town. I know, hang with me, it's almost over. When you dock, you look straight ahead and see this massive outpost with an embossed 30-foot entranceway made of natural luminescent rock strewn with ivy. Vines, and in it is carved, Welcome to Expedition Self. So I've just given you a glimpse of the entrance to the many realms of Expedition Self. And I did this because I want to spend at least a minute or so talking about it before we dive into the show today, which, by the way, it's all about self-symbolism, sacred mementos, and personal manifestos. That is a mouthful. And so this is a call-in show. So if ever there was a show that's easy to share in, this is it. Because it comes right out of your personal world. And I feel like everyone has some self-symbolism. But anyway, you know, I created the Many Realms of Expedition Self a decade ago on my living room floor. I saw it as a video game. And it was, at the time, it was intended to provide kind of a setting to understand all of this, the aspects of being human and a place to go do experiential learning and growth work inside of each of these realms. But right now, there are 10 realms or worlds to visit. Now, I'm going to share the map on my website this week because I want you to kind of get a glimpse of it if you've been following along with my shows. So go to samparado.com if you're interested in seeing it visually. Over the years, I've tried to probably four times to get this built into a virtual online experience, and it is finally looking like we're going to be able to actually do it. So it'll take a bit of time, but I'm super excited about it enough that I wanted to walk you through like the landing on the island, right? To think that we might be able to build it and create it and make it the super destination for people to learn and grow. So anyway, I will keep you posted as it takes shape. But in the meantime, if you want to stay connected, register at my site, you know, to stay in the know. The other thing you can do is go like our page on Facebook or Instagram, Expedition Self, because, you know, we've been posting since 2012 there, and there's all kinds of really awesome inspirational imagery. And of course, there's also posts about self-development and how to go inside. Okay. So remember this call-in show right now, which means I get to hear about your special mementos or your symbols in your life. So here's the number, 202-570-7057. And I've left lots of room in the agenda today for you to call in. So please do. Oh, and you're definitely going to want to snag a pencil and paper for today's session because I'm going to be posing questions and walking you through actually how to create a personal manifesto a bit. And it's likely, if you're really with me, that something will show up that you'll want to make sure it doesn't get lost. You want to capture it. All right. So let's dive in. So I want to start by talking about what I think self-symbolism is. So it's anything in the world that brings you into connection with deeper aspects of yourself. You can relate to it as something very spiritual, like the Native Americans do, or the Aborigines do, like a sign of the hidden power of the universe or God or whatever you believe is higher power. You can think of it as a way your psyche attaches to the physical realm, the one we all occupy. Self-symbolism, it allows you to infuse the mundane life with the sacred, the special, and the noticeable. And it creates an environment where you're on the lookout for objects that hold significance for you. So, you know, instead of going mindlessly through the doing of your life, these symbols can often call out to you as if they were intentionally placed in your awareness exclusively for you. So because they have meaning to you, they speak to the heart. And they imply that you're cared about and considered inside of a world that often leaves us feeling unimportant. So each symbol and its appearance marks a special opportunity to remember that you're more than the implementation of some task, the execution of it, right? And in the stopping the action for just this moment, you feel gifted, presented with the acknowledgement that someplace beyond your conscious thought, you are being thought about by the world in which you live. You see, they serve as reminders of moments past or people who have impacted you in some way or of circumstances when they take you to places along your timeline that every minute, the every day, the every month, or the every year of what's brought you to this very moment, the one you're in right now. So this capacity to like whoosh you into a tiny glimpse of your experience in life. Well, honestly, it makes self-symbolism one of those secret, powerful, and dynamic happenings in our lives. And this is why I want to talk about it with you today, because I think it's possible that while you delight in their appearance, you may not recognize their true importance in your inner growth work. In fact, you maybe even take them for granted. So I'm assuming as I described the importance of self-symbolism that your mind started running wild and some of yours, your personal symbols, showed up. You saw them, or maybe you had a memory. What showed up? This is a good time. Make sure you write it down on that piece of paper. And if that happened, this is a perfect time to call. What did you see? What appeared for you? Was it an animal? Or a drawn symbol? Or a type of flower? Or an object? Or a song? You see, that's the thing about this self-symbolism. It can be anything that you've been drawn to that seems to pop up, that demands your attention. Like animals in Native American spirituality, they're known as power animals, you know, often bringing you a message or a reminder, offering you their special medicine. So when you see these power animals, you're bolstered from the inside, asked to listen for what they've come to bring to you in this time to help you on this day. I used to think I had one power animal. I always have a set of rules that I'm always putting in place and then debunking. But I've learned that although I do have one or two that I gravitate towards and they gravitate towards me, like I have a black panther that shows up in every meditation. If you're open to the animal world, then through meditation or in real life, you'll find that they change and they vary. I think about charm bracelets. You know, when you go to those jewelry shops that are often in tourist areas, I was at one in Monterey, California, and I walked in and all of these little charms were laid out in boxes that were like a half inch by a half inch. There were dolphins, of course, in Monterey, California, but there were frogs and butterflies and lions' heads and dog paw prints. I've been in these shops when someone comes in and they look in the case, and then I hear this like, oh, they've got an elephant. I love elephants. Elephants. That was an interesting flip of the words. You know, it's like there's some personal delight that happens when you connect, like what feels like something on the inside of your psyche and imagination with something that happens in real life. You know, they have suns and moons and trees and daisies, nature elements, and otherworldly things like angel wings and magic wands and spirals and rainbows and ribbons of energy. I think we unknowingly seek something to hold that's tangible of our symbols. We somehow know that by touching and having, wearing, and embracing a symbol that seems to be ours, that we're staking a claim on who we are. So the thing about these symbols is that while they call to our higher selves, they do something else for the self too. They validate our identity, that we are here, that we are somebody, that we matter, and that we are unique. All of this brand conversation we've been listening to over the last decade, you know, your personal brand and all that, as it's been on the rise, you know, as people try to make a statement about who they are, I feel like this is because it's becoming more important to say, here I am, I matter, I have thoughts, does anyone see me? And of course, this brings me to the center of identity. You know, how do we celebrate it and build it up, make it more real and visible? Because underneath it all, way down deep, maybe you're conscious of it, maybe you're not, we want to be seen. And self-symbolism provides us with a largely acceptable way to be seen. We kind of do it through transference, right? It's a bit pretzeled up because what we want to be seen about is our deeper feelings and our pain, our core needs and our everyday needs. We want to be adored. We want to feel as if we matter, we contribute, that we exist. And we want to feel as if our presence on the planet is more than a mere piece of dust in the wind. But to proclaim all of this, to want something like this for the self, for many, we just wouldn't scream it. We wouldn't speak it, right? We wouldn't say, hey, look at me. I've got needs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Aren't I special, right? Like, did you notice how unique I am? And so these little pieces of self-symbolism, oh gosh, they give us a way to do this for ourselves. To wear it on our body, to remember it when it walks across the road as we're driving to work, to notice it on a book in the bookstore. While the world speaks to us, we're able to claim our sense of self and identity through it, right? While the world speaks to us by showing us these symbols and bringing them into our conscious awareness, we're able to claim our sense of self and identity through it. And it opens up our world just a bit. It lends support to the challenges that we face. And of course, it makes it okay to have it, to have a need to be special for who we are. And dare I say, my favorite phrase, to feel legitimate and legal in being just because I breathe. So it's like it's okay to say, I resonate with this object. But by claiming this object as mine, I'm also able to claim my life as mine. And my right to embody it, it goes up. And then I might just see more about who I am and how I came here how I arrived at this moment in time. You see, we gloss over our pain in life. We forget the vulnerability that was felt while we move towards the next moment. So when you hold on to or find these symbols, they offer a like a doorway, right? The door opens and an opportunity to listen and see and revisit a lost point in time. When my son was first born, I was shopping at a Hallmark store, and there were these pillows shaped in animal form, you know, flat, like body pillows. They were round, probably a foot across, you know, foot and a half. There were lions, cats, and dogs. And then there was this frog. I kid you not. It was like the frog was looking at me. And I held no special love of frogs at the time. But none others called to me. It was kind of like, even though I love all those other animals, there was a way where it's like, nah, and I picked the one up, turned it over, nah, picked the other one up. Yeah, I don't think this is him. Like, it was this whole weird moment in a store that I least expected, because I really wasn't there actually to shop for pillows. So when we come back from break, I'll tell you how that played out in his life.
Conscious Lifestyle for a Mindful Life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
All right. Well, you are back at Expedition Self. And if you were at the top of the hour, you went along with visualization where we landed on the continent where Expedition Self exists. But we are talking about personal manifestos and self-symbolism. And when we went on break, I was just talking about this frog pillow that was calling to me when my son was really a newborn. So none of the others called to me. So you can bet, I'm sure you already figured this out, I walked out of that store with who would soon be known as Bubbles. And so the other day, right, holiday, my son is home from college and he's going through his backpack as he's getting ready to leave. And he reaches in and he pulls out this little tiny frog figurine, like maybe an inch across. Excuse me. And then he digs down and he pulls out another one. And this one's actually a little smaller. And I'm surprised because he now makes sure he carries frogs with him. And yes, Bubbles is still in his life. And at the time, I did some research about frogs, and it said that they represent humor and lightheartedness and kind of this inner joy. The frog energy is very powerful because it doesn't like punch you in the nose to reach your heart. It finds its way through unexpected laughter. And, you know, as he grew up, it was so interesting. I'd look at him and I'd say, where did your sense of humor come from? Because I don't think I have much of one. And so these frogs, they became part of his identity. And they remind him that he's here and that he has a right to occupy himself. And frogs, Bubbles, and the many others he's collected, they help him do this. They help him claim who he is. Even our backyard in the spring is so loud with all the frogs caught up in the mating season. When we moved to this house, I had never heard so much noise, and I chalk it up to him. So there's something else you can do with these symbols that I'm talking about, and that is you can listen to them. You can allow them to speak to you, to help you understand yourself or a situation better. You can simply say, what do I need to know? Or what is it I'm supposed to be remembering today? When I was a little girl, I loved miniature things of any kind, particularly little miniature dolls and boxes. So troll dolls, tiny boxes, little envelopes. You know, right now I have a troll doll always sitting right next to my computer. And, you know, when the conversations with clients get a little too challenging, simply looking at my troll doll, maybe I even play with it, I'm brought back to a place where it all doesn't have to feel so real and heavy. I even look at that troll doll and say, well, what should I do now? And I get answers. You know, I have so many gifts from my mom that are miniature. Each one holds a different memory, brings a different set of feelings, and helps me connect to a different circumstance or time in my life. And this helps me grow. It helps me to stay in relationship with all of me, the past, the present, and even the future, because the more I can really clear the way in the past and truly unbind bound up internal spaces, well, the more I can create the future I want. Right now, actually, I'm looking at a miniature glass chest given to me by my mom today, no bigger than an inch and a half across, and she added purple flowers, right? Just to kind of ground me in who I am. I'm going to stop for just a second and let you know, when I first started the radio show, it just brought up these incredible feelings of loneliness when I would sit on the radio and there wasn't somebody sitting across from me. All these little miniature things like the troll doll and that box, they got me through it. It took me, I think, eight or 10 of the shows to stop really like feeling so alone as I did it. So, okay, there's another thing here. And by the way, I want to tell you the phone number again, because I'd love to hear from you about these symbols. 202-570-7057. All right, play. Symbolism helps us play. And let's face it, most of us have way too much going on to remember we're supposed to be playing in life and experimenting and allowing moments to unfold rather than chasing after them. And so this is something that's really important inside of our messages that are brought to us by these objects and things we identify with as self-symbolism. Part of the listening and allowing them to communicate with and through us, it's also to make room for what doesn't always look real or scientific or true or credible. Yeah, these symbols, they help us to stay connected to a world that we don't control or dictate how it goes. They help to keep us humble in remembering that there's more going on than we can possibly know. Now, I know this seems like the exact opposite thing that the identity piece would suggest, right? I am here, I matter, I am seen. But that piece is about bringing what's in the depths of our sense of self to the fore. This piece that I'm talking about has to do with reminding us that there is more to life and the world than we can possibly know. All of this great wisdom packed into one tiny troll doll, and much of it is beyond words. It communicates with our subconscious. It makes contact with the emotional level of the self. You see, these pieces of self-symbolism are essential parts of our life experience, and we don't even realize what a big deal they are. So there's one more piece I want to highlight around self-symbolism. And that is that they offer us the opportunity to feel, particularly when we run across our memorabilia, our note written between loved ones, or a gift given decades ago, a butterfly landing on the kitchen windowsill. They give us an opportunity to feel and grieve and experience the emotions connected with that memory. And although I think everyone talks about wanting to feel, or they like feeling and reminiscing, I really don't think we do. So every time we get a glimpse or a glimmer of, oh, I'm feeling here, we get a little more freedom inside the self to both feel and be free of feelings that hold us in place that we don't know are really doing that. So self-symbolism can be anything you're drawn to, but it also includes pieces of life that exist in your memory box too. Photos, a menu from a restaurant, rocks. I love to talk about rocks, one of my favorite subjects. I think I've mentioned before that I used to travel around with my grandmother and dig rocks all over the western part of the United States. We went, one point we went to Snowflake, Arizona, where we chiseled obsidian teardrops out of this giant matrix wall, right? We dug concretions in the Snake River. But this one trip was to Spencer, Idaho, and they were known for their stash of fire opal. So I got my pick and my digging tools. Yes, I had a pick. I even had a little hard hat. and we would go and we'd sit on this mountain for 2 days looking for rocks that might have contained fire opal compressed inside. You know, opals formed by the water getting locked in there, right? And then petrifying inside this granite-like rock. And then, of course, then it takes all this amazing color on. You know, I love color wherever I can find it. So I found a rock and it actually had some on it just sitting there. I didn't even have to chisel or crack it open. I still have this rock. It still sits right outside of my door. And every time I go by it, I'm swept back to that moment on that mountain with my grandmother digging. And I feel gratitude. And sometimes I remember interactions with her that need some attention. And then I go do that work. Okay, it looks like we've got a caller. So, Diane, what do you have to say about self-symbolism?
Well, hello. Hello. And I'm sitting here listening to you, and I thought, gosh, I've had so many animals in my life, and I wondered, What was the thing, or what could I say was my symbol that took me into a different thought process? And what came up with was a bobcat that a number of years ago I had spent a lot of time with, just watching it sleep in the shade. I got so excited. I had taken lots of images. And to fast forward, I think I even had shown this image to the hotel manager that I was there, and they said they are very rare. You don't see them very often. They stay away from people. And so as I continued to think, as I'm listening to you, I wondered what part, why did it come up for me? And so I pulled it up on the internet while I was listening to you, and it says the significance of bobcat spirit is that it keeps you moving from place to place and new pastures, so that I'm always looking for greener pastures. It also adds to the fact that I was so excited that I was going to go to Africa this year, and I now it doesn't appear that that might happen. And as I'm reading down here, which just blew me away, so I'm sharing. It says, the silent mode that the bobcat gives itself is the same way that you have to be in your life. No need to broadcast all your plans and the focus you provide to your goals. When you encounter the bobcat animal, you will realize that they are keen and composed as they move. So I had decided that I have so many people asking me, are you going on your Africa trip? I now feel very comfortable in saying, I really don't have to broadcast that I am or I am not going. It just will or will not happen.
Wow. Wow. Well, it's I hear the peace that this has provided for you in this moment, and you really... You are demonstrating so clearly how these symbols in our lives can really give us support when we're trying to work through something in our heads. That is quite a story. And how cool that we have the internet, right? That you could just pull it right up.
Absolutely.
And there it is for you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I even had a card sent to me by a friend that I have not heard from in a long time. And guess what was on the cover of it? It was a picture of a bobcat. And they didn't even know. They didn't even know.
Well, thank you so much.
Right? Yes,
you're welcome.
Yes.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Bye-bye.
So it's what a great story that is. I particularly love that last piece, which is she had a friend that sent her a bobcat. And it's not like, right, bobcats, it sounded like we're not really part of her life before this moment. And so that's the part where we keep realizing we're not controlling it all, but we can recognize it and we can rely on it and we can make it important when it actually happens, right? And this brings me to the next piece in terms of Diane's story about the bobcat is that the last thing I want to say about symbolism is that you can meditate with it. You can bring it into your creative visualizations and sit with it and feel it. Ask it for more information. You can sit down with a piece of paper and say, have a dialogue with it. You can say, Bobcat, what do you want to tell me? There's so much wealth of help awaiting you as you really tap into these not so obvious objects of life. You know, you can form a relationship with these memories or talismans or totems or charms of your life, and they infuse another layer of deeper intimacy with ourselves. The thing about the self-symbolism is that it's there right available to us to provide guidance and support and reinforcement. And, but the key is really learning how to notice it and how you can work with it. So I keep talking about the self. And when I think about you and the five layers of you, which I talked about in a previous show, and the five core needs that have driven your life and the thousands of stored experiences in your unconscious, all of this is huge and interesting. And it's looking for you to see it. So this conversation, it furthers your capacity to see you more clearly, you know, to celebrate, to revere, to honor your path of what makes you you. I hear people talk a lot about bringing these symbols to an altar in their home, a place where you could visit with the intention of being inspired by what you've placed there, like reminders. You know, maybe it's an acorn in the fall to remind you that you're moving through the seasons of your life. Or a wishbone that you've had since you were 12 to remind you of that holiday dinner. You know, the last one you had with your brother before he went into the military and didn't come home. To making sacred spaces goes hand in hand with valuing and appreciating these symbols in our lives. It's a making room or a making of room for them to contribute and supply you with a bit of added assistance. And getting through each day, or through each year, or through a difficult time, or in creating the future that you want. So this leads me to the second half of this conversation, which has to do with how to create a personal manifesto. Now, I'm not going to be able to walk you through every piece of it, because, you know, it's really an experiential thing that if I were doing it in a workshop, I might spend 8 hours, right? Walking people through, giving you an opportunity to drop in and pick up some pieces of information, then come back out. But I do want to give you some pieces to work with today. So first, the personal manifesto is really the embodiment of creating your own symbolism generated by you to make a declaration of who you are and what matters to you and where you're headed. It's a bringing together of all that you are and giving form to it through words and imagery. And it's going to be aided, totally assisted by the unconscious part of you attempting to speak to you. This is so important, as in all creative activities. There's a communication happening between the unconscious and the conscious mind. And since we know that the bulk of what's really pushing our lives from one place to another is housed in that unconscious, creating a personal manifesto means engaging the pathway between one aspect and another aspect of the self. Okay, so when we come back from break, we're going to actually walk you through some of the things you can think about and do to actually move yourself into a personal manifesto.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
All right. Well, welcome back. You are listening to me, Sam Parado, on Expedition Self, and we are talking about self-symbolism and personal manifestos. And we've reached the point in the show today where we're going to actually walk through how to do a personal manifesto. So the first thing is, when you think about working on this, you don't want to have this idea that you're going to sit down and get it done. You know, like it's something that's going to be output. Because instead, you want to relate to it as an exploration of the self. And you want to capture what wants to come to you on the page or through the objects that you're working with. So, okay, here's how you start. Oh, before I go, listen, I'd still love to hear about some other people's stories with your own symbolism. So I'm going to give you the number one more time, 202-570-7057. I'd please call in. It would be awesome. So, okay. So the first thing you want to do is you want to collect all of the objects and memories and mementos and symbols that mean something to you. Now, when I say all, you're not going to probably do all, but you just start kind of gathering and including, right? If you don't want to do the work of bringing them to one place, well, then write them on a page or draw them. You know, use crayons and don't get hung up on what everything looks like. So as you're gathering these, allow words to show up. They don't have to be whole sentences or phrases or a quote, right? That matters to you. That's good, right? It's like it doesn't have to fit some rule. You just start pulling things in and capturing them in a central space. Right now, you may be even having things pop into your mind as I talk. maybe for a while, you even put them in multiple places. A note on your phone, or a basket next to your favorite chair, or stacked by your bed. See, the key is to get focused on wanting to bring things together that mean something to you at this time, so that you can work with it. So once that happens, you'll want to sit down with all that you've gathered in front of a big piece of paper. If you only have an 8.5 by 11, then tape 4 of them together, or 6. But you want an oversized piece so you have lots of room, right? We don't want to be limited by the edges of the paper. You could do newspaper. That's the other thing. It doesn't matter that it's white paper, right? It's any place you can capture it, right? Now, this big piece of paper may feel a little intimidating, but that's okay. You want to breathe and sit there and allow that white page to be part of the experience. And mostly you want to try not to censor or control where your thoughts go. So, and the reason for doing that, that not controlling your thoughts, is because this is an exercise in seeing how much you can handle listening to. So then you want to pose the first question. What do I need to hear right now? What do I need to hear right now? I love this question because what comes next is usually a shock or a surprise, or it's a comfort, right? A lot of times you might not even want to write it down because whatever it is makes you feel particularly vulnerable. By the way, you don't have to write in a line or in order. In fact, the more random you put things on the page, the more you keep the doorway open. So after the what do I need to hear right now, you'll move on to what inspires me. Again, don't censor. I cannot say this enough, because every time you censor, it's like closing the door and only letting half of what's possible in. What words inspire you? What colors or ideas or feelings? What television shows? What movies? What songs? And let that find its way to your page. The next question is, what am I wanting for myself? Now, as I do these questions, even as you're listening, you may get a response. You don't even have to sit with this big page. That's the cool part of this, right? Is it just opens and opens. So what am I wanting for myself? Put anything on that page that shows up. Little things, big things, seemingly unimportant things. Whatever your psyche offers is exactly what you want to put. You don't even have to reword it, right? Or frame it up different. So now look at all of those personal objects and symbols you've gathered and add them to what you're writing, or add the one that stands out to you now. Like, that's a step. See, this is really how to process when we go inside too. It's one layer built on another layer. And just because something didn't stand out to you the first time you inquired or asked a question, it doesn't mean it isn't going to show up for you later in the process, right? Because you're, again, opening up this channel. You are the facilitator of your own exploration. How generous and welcoming can you be to yourself? How well can you listen? Remember, I said that. This is an exercise in how much can you let in? And how freely can you express the information that comes into your psyche? Okay, so you've added some more from your collection, right? So the next question is, what do I need to hear but resist? What do I need to hear but resist? This is a moment of a big opportunity, because we recognize that all of us are somewhat defended in life. Right? We're trying to keep ourselves safe and together. So a question like this, added to the big picture we're creating in front of us, it's going to provide something huge for you if you really mean it when you ask it. You have to really mean it, though. You have to want the information. All this intention I'm talking about, right? What do I need to hear but don't want to hear? What do I need to understand but shy away from? You can create questions that resonate more closely with the way you put your words together. But the essence of this step is to cajole incredibly request something that normally we don't want so much. Okay, next step. So this is when you want to think about a sacred symbol, a heart, a spiral, a tree, an eye, some aspect of the world that you live in that you can draw in line art. Doesn't have to be done well. Did you catch what I just did there? It's not about done well. It doesn't have to fit what you imagine it should look like. There we go. And you place it on your page. Maybe it's a favorite symbol, but maybe it's a new one that you haven't seen before, and it just showed up in your mind's eye. There it was on that chalkboard in the front of your brain. All right. So then you want to ask the question, what advice or affirmations can I provide for myself when thinking about my life and where I am right now? What advice, what positive or supportive or acknowledging words can I give to myself when I think about my life and where I am right now? Right? And those words might even say, what is so right now? Right? That I can make real. So this is an important pause, because we're always moving through our life, but we're also always stuck in where we are. The personal manifesto is a way to see what is, to actually pause and say, where am I and where am I going? And the where am I is to actually put that in words and acknowledge it and validate it. Right? Because while we're doing it, we're looking to celebrate, to inside of that acknowledgement and validation, right? Of exactly what is so at this time, even if it's bad news, even if it feels lousy. You see, by doing this, we fully claim the moment for ourselves, about ourselves. And in doing this, we provide a renewed foundation for forward motion. You see, that's the challenge with life and why we often seek security and safety. We're on a bit of quicksand because of the way we store information about life, and then we're trying to jump forward all at the same time. So a question like, what affirmations can I provide for myself, or what advice do I need to hear? It's like taking that recognition of where you are that you may not really be conscious of, and receiving confirmation and encouragement to actually be with it. And that gives us power and strength. You are somewhere right now, and you're going somewhere next. The question is, how do you help yourself to get freed up as you take that next step? And this is what acknowledging symbols and mementos and working on a personal manifesto can do for you. Because the more we see where we are and what's going on with us, and really listen for the information being offered up by the self, we are absolutely solidifying our sense of power and depth in a way that opens up the future and gives us more freedom to go towards that future. Okay, like I said, you are somewhere right now and you're going somewhere next. So that's the next question you'll want to respond to on that big page. Where am I right now? Where am I going next? By this point in your personal manifesto exercise, you're probably brimming with feelings or additional thoughts, or even creative possibilities and solutions. So any and all of this should be captured. Maybe you need to stop and cry for a while and journal. Maybe you need to go outside and sit in the sun and let it all sink in, or sleep on it, or cook over it, or write more on the page. The key to working with the self always is making room to express and explore what shows up while you're in the intentional activity. This is what experiential learning is all about. You have a direction, an activity, a thing you're doing, and then you pay attention to what shows up while you're doing it. And if you're really working it, you create room to capture and contain all that unconscious intelligence that wants to make its presence known. Okay, I'm going to assume you've made room for this and you're returning to your big page or your personal manifesto. Maybe it's an hour later or a month. So this is when you start plucking things off of the page. Now you can create an illustration that captures the words. You can write them in a list. You can make one word a larger font than another. You can put them in different colors. You can handwrite them in a box and all the flaps. The key is to lift the things that matter the most. So this is a significant moment because you're really being guided by what jumps out at you. And you're adding another layer of listening to see what wants to be brought together with what you already created. So as you lift what matters most, something is getting built and crafted. And although you may think you're being super intentional about it, believe me, you are being influenced big time by the parts of the self that don't always get heard and acknowledged. Let it really happen. Let it really happen. Give yourself that room. I feel myself getting excited for you to be able to see what happens and what emerges and what it means to you, what it's supporting in your life, and how you might be elevated by the whole thing. Because it gives you an opportunity to really see you and that guidance that materializes from the deeper self. So that's the thing. Today's show is all about acknowledging things that are really outside of what we intend or control. It's the other part of being that might fall in the domain of spirituality or energy or the intangible. But it's also the aspect of life that when we cultivate and care for it, when we truly, truly invite it in and seek it, we're given so much extra encouragement. We're boosted to get freed up and be able to move forward without such a drag on us. We need help. We really do. And it's so easy to buy into the idea that we can control everything. And it's so likely that we don't see all of who we are. Understanding where we are right now, where I've been and where I'd like to go, what would nourish my life, and then giving the time to notice these symbolic objects that show up in my life and your life, and then to spend time working with their messages and their medicine. This is what self-help is. We spend so much time getting the feel-goods by helping others, but really we each need to help. We need help to keep moving forward in our life beyond the doing. You know, self-help is spending time truly getting up and underneath who you are on a conscious level and totally fostering this profoundly intimate relationship with yourself. So I just want to stop here and let you ponder what we've talked about today. What showed up in your memories? What symbolic objects came to play? What words or phrases or personal insight popped into your mind when I was describing how to do your personal manifesto? How can you see yourself more clearly and be open to validating exactly where you are and really help yourself by developing more and more skill at going inside? Thank you so much for listening. I chose a poem that is one of my all-time favorites, and I'm probably sure I think everyone knows it, and it's called Caged Bird by Maya Angelou. I just thought it so fit today's conversation. The free bird leaps on the back of the wind and floats downstream till the current ends and dips his wings in the orange sun rays and dares to claim the sky. And dares to claim the sky, but a bird that stalks down his narrow cage can seldom see through his bars of rage. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with fearful trill of the things unknown, but longed for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. The free bird thinks of another breeze and the trade wind soft through the sighing trees and the fat worms waiting on a dawn bright lawn. And he names the sky his own. But a caged bird stands on the grave of dreams. His shadow shouts on a nightmare scream. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied. So he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings. With a fearful trill of things unknown, but longed for still. And his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. I feel so much like what we're talking about when we go inside the self is the idea of freeing your own caged bird. And the symbolism here is just so perfectly matched up to the things we talked about today. I wish you a wonderful week. Thank you for joining me. I'm Sam Parato. Have a great time. Great week.